Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my third week of teaching on how to receive God's best. And I tell you, I think that I've said some really important things, things that God has used to just revolutionize my life. I spent a week talking about how you got to, first of all, change your expectations. You got to quit living with second best, settling for less. And I just encourage people how to really stretch themselves and believe that God has something better for them than what they are experiencing. You know, to me, I just don't understand why people fight so hard for mediocrity, and yet people are afraid to believe God for something because they might fail. So I spent a lot of time talking about that. I spent time talking about how it's a matter of receiving God's best, not getting God to give. God has already spoken His blessing over us. He's already released His power. Now it's just a matter of us believing and receiving. It's not a matter of us trying to get God to do something. That is a big deal in the body of Christ. I've spent the last 3 or 4 days talking about the difference between blessings and miracles, because these are two different ways of receiving from God. A blessing is something that prevents crisis, whereas if you receive a miracle, you have to be in a crisis to get it. God will not give you a miracle without being in a crisis situation. It's an abnormal way of receiving from God. It is not the normal way. God created this whole heaven and earth and said everything was good, and there is a way for you to get every one of your needs met through some kind of a system that God created here in this world and not have to have a miracle. A miracle is a stopgap, temporary measure to help you in a crisis situation. If you're going to live from miracle to miracle, you're going to live from crisis to crisis. There's a better way. And I've been talking about this. On our program yesterday, I was emphasizing that a blessing is not a thing that a blessing produces, but rather it's the divine favor of God. It's God's favor spoken over you. And I use Genesis chapter 1 to make that point. Let me turn over and start with the story of Abraham. And Abraham first shows up in Genesis chapter 11. And it just basically lists him and his father and his brothers. And it says over in the book of Acts that God spoke to him when he was still in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, you don't get that out of the Genesis account. But by putting this together with Stephen's history of the Jewish people, as inspired by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 7, you find out that God spoke to Abraham to leave his father and his mother and all of his father's house in Ur of the Chaldees and come out into a land that he would later show him. Well, Abraham only half believed, or let me rephrase it. He only half cooperated with God, because when he left Ur of the Chaldees, he still came out with his father and with his nephew. And he didn't fully do what God told him to do. And so he stayed in this place called Haran for a period of time until his father died. And then when his father died, he finally moved out of there and started into the promised land that God would eventually give him. But even then, he wasn't totally believing God, because he still had his nephew Lot with him, and God told him to separate from all of his physical kindred. So anyway, this is the background. In chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now again, you know, this word bless and blessed doesn't mean a lot in our society today, and so most people just kind of skip over this and don't think about it. But boy, there are a lot of times in these 2 or 3 verses that the Lord used some form of the word bless. Notice again in verse 2, "I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee." Again, what is a blessing? It's God's supernatural favor spoken over you. And when God speaks something, like He created the heavens and the earth and spoke them into existence, He spoke light into existence, He spoke the dry land into existence, He spoke the animal creation and grass and trees and herbs and all of the stars and the sun and the moon, He spoke these things into existence. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when God speaks, it's powerful. So He says that I'm going to speak my favor over you. I'm going to release this creative, miraculous power out of my words, and I'm going to speak these things over you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God's supernatural power would not only come to Abraham, but it would also flow through him and touch other people. And then He said this in verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Boy, this is powerful. God spoke a blessing over Abraham, and Abraham believed this, and because of it, the physical things that many people think are blessings begin to start coming as a byproduct. The blessing of God isn't these things, it's the favor of God, but it will produce visible, tangible results. And in this very chapter right here, Abraham began to prosper supernaturally. And it wasn't because he did everything right. There was a famine in the land. Abraham went down into Egypt, and he was afraid that his wife was so beautiful. At this time, she was, I think, 66 years old. And he was so afraid that somebody was going to kill him to get to his wife that he said, "Tell everybody you're my sister." And it was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. She was the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother. And so it wasn't a total lie, but you know, the scripture says you shall not bear false witness. It was false witness. He just deceived people because he was afraid of his own skin, and he was trying to save his own neck. And he was willing to let Pharaoh take his wife. He actually took Sarah and put her into his harem. And he didn't have physical relationships with her, but he was planning on it. He was moving in that direction. And finally, God appeared unto Pharaoh in a dream and told him, "You're but a dead man because you have another man's wife." And Pharaoh came to Abram and says, "What have you done?" He says, "Well, I didn't think that the fear of God was in this place, so I asked her to tell people that she was my sister." And anyway, as a result, God rebuked Pharaoh. Now, this is really important. Man, all of this stuff fits together, and I have spent so many thousands of hours meditating on this, it's hard for me to see these little, you know, these little strains of truth in here and not bring these things out. But really, I'm trying to teach this in a progression, in a logical thing, and sometimes it's hard to keep from getting ahead of myself. But let me just mention this, that you know what? Abraham was the one that was totally wrong. He lied. Pharaoh was innocent. This happened a second time with Abraham over with Abimelech, the king of Gerar. And Abimelech told the Lord, he says, "I did this in the integrity of my heart. He told me that she was his sister." This is when Sarah was 90 years old and she was still so good looking that men were chasing her. And Abimelech took her into his harem at 90 years old. Boy, that Sarah was one blessed woman, one good looking woman. And anyway, he did it a second time, and Abimelech says, "I did this in the integrity of my heart." And God said, "I know you did it in the integrity of your heart. That's the reason that I warned you, but you have to go and ask this man's forgiveness." Even though Abraham was the one that was wrong, he said, "You go humble yourself and you have Abraham pray for you and bless you." Here is one of the great truths about the blessing. It does not come upon you because you are holy and deserve it. It is not based on your performance. You don't have to be worthy of the blessing. God blesses us because He is good, not because we are lovely. And so God just has spoken His favor over us. And if you will believe and if you will receive it, you can start seeing the blessing of God working in your life to grant you favor and financial blessing and prosperity and health and joy and peace. And you can experience these things even though you aren't worthy. Abraham wasn't worthy. Abraham was the one that was wrong. But who got rebuked? Not Abraham. Pharaoh and Abimelech are the ones that got rebuked. You know why? Because God deals with us based on covenant, not based on our performance. We have to believe and enter into the covenant. But once we cut the covenant, once we are a part of the covenant, then we get God's blessing, not because we deserve it, but because we made a covenant with God. God made a covenant with Abraham and he was blessed, and God rebuked the other people who were actually more righteous than Abraham, and yet they are the one that God rebuked because they weren't blessed by God. God said, I will bless him that blesses you, and I will curse him that curses you. Even though Abraham was wrong, God was ready to curse and punish somebody else if they would have treated him wrong. You know, that's the reason that to this day, I still believe that the Israelis are blessed. Now, I think that there's some confusion here in some people. Anyway, I'm not going to go there, but, you know, I think that the New Covenant Church that we have been grafted in, I do believe that we are the blessed people of God. It says over in Romans chapter 2, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but circumcision is that of the heart and not in the flesh. I believe that the body of Christ is God's strength and power on the earth, but that does not invalidate the promises that were made to the physical nation of Israel. There are some physical promises. One of them is that they would come back into their land and that they would never be driven out. And I still believe that if you bless Israel, you're blessed. That if you curse Israel, you're cursed. And I just don't go there. I won't do that. You know, I was drafted and I was sent to Vietnam and I fought in the Vietnam War. I wasn't excited about it, but I did it. And you know what? If they would have drafted me to go send me against Israel and fight against Israel, I'd have defected. I'd have done something. But I will not curse Israel. I will not fight against Israel. Because if you do, you are cursed by God. You may have a different opinion on that, and you're entitled to it, but I won't agree with you, or we'd both be wrong. This says God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel. And here is an example in this very chapter. The Pharaoh, he was the one that was operating in more integrity than Abraham, and yet who got rebuked? The guy who was actually more correct in his actions because he didn't have this blessing of God spoken over him. Once you get the blessing of God on you, you'll find out that it's not based on your goodness and your greatness. It's just if you receive the blessing of God, then you will start to prosper. And even when you don't deserve it, you'll prosper. Praise God. In the 13th chapter of Genesis, you find this just amplified again. And in the 13th chapter, when Abraham and Lot came out of Egypt, they were so blessed. Part of the way that Abraham got blessed was Pharaoh was so scared that he had nearly been cursed by God because he touched the man who was blessed by God, that he just gave Abraham all kinds of cattle and sheep and camels and slaves, servants, manservants, maidservants. Abraham came out of Egypt stinking, filthy, rich, not because he really had deserved it, but he just had the blessing of God on him, and God began to take the wealth of the sinner and give it to the just. And so in the 13th chapter, Abraham and Lot were so prosperous that they couldn't dwell together anymore. Their herdmen were fighting over the pasture land. And so Abraham told Lot, he says, we're brothers. We shouldn't fight over this. He says, let's part and go our own ways. If you'll go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And here's another great thing about the blessing. By this time, Abraham had come to realize that God was on his side. God had reproved Pharaoh for his benefit. And he saw that God blessed him in a situation where he shouldn't have received things just based on his own goodness. He still got it anyway. And he finally realized that God was with him and whatever he did was going to prosper because God had just blessed him. And so because of this, Abraham, he told Lot, he says, pick which way you want to go. Over here on the right is total desert. I've been to the nation of Israel and down there around the Dead Sea, on the west side of the Dead Sea, you go there and you can go 5 and 10 feet between blades of grass, little clumps of grass. It is nearly a total desert. And Abraham says, do you want this parched land, this desert land, or do you want to go to the left over here where Sodom and Gomorrah was? And before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it said it was like the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine the Garden of Eden just have clumps of grass every 10 or 15 or 20 feet? No, I believe it was lush. I believe it was awesome. I believe that it was just, you know, like the Lord said, a land flowing with milk and honey. So this says a lot about Abraham. Abraham had come to realize that it was not the natural physical things that were causing him to prosper. It was the blessing of God. And he knew he was blessed, that it didn't matter. Give him the desert and he'd be fine. He gave Lot the choice. He says, pick which way you want to go. Now, if you were in a situation like this, and if you had so many cattle and camels and sheep that you couldn't dwell with other people, I guarantee you, I've had horses before, and one of the first things I looked for when I got property was to see whether it had subterranean water, whether there was good grass. You think about things like that. And for Abraham, just to say, pick whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. There was no chance to this. He knew that Lot was going to pick the well-watered area down around the Dead Sea, and that would leave him out here in the desert. But he knew that God was his source, and because of it, he chose the harder way to go, trusting the promise of God. And right after Lot was departed from him, it says this in Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 14. It says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And he goes on and talks about multiplying his seed. That was after Lot departed from him. And I hadn't got time to go into this, but the blessing that was given to him in the beginning in Genesis chapter 12 was partial. It was powerful, but it was partial. This is much greater. It now begins to specify the land that he would inhabit, and it begins to prophesy about his seed. It was more and more detailed. It was even greater blessing. You know why that happened? Because God originally told him, get out of the land and from your father's kindred. He didn't obey fully. He brought his father out for a period of time and waited until his father died, and then brought his nephew with him. And it wasn't until his nephew had departed from him and he finally was doing what God told him to do that now the blessing of God begins to start being manifest even greater. And in the 14th chapter, you can find that Abraham went down and Sodom and Gomorrah, where his nephew Lot moved to, it was so wicked that God was going to destroy the place. But before he destroyed it, you know, by raining fire out of heaven, there were these four kings that came and they captured all of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that included Lot and his family, his daughters, and all of this. When Abraham heard about it, it says that he took all of the people that were raised in his house, trained to fight. And I think that there was something like 300. Let me read this in Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued after them. Now, these are only the servants that were trained to fight. This doesn't include the old men, the young men, the women, the children. So he's bound to have had over 1,000 slaves, servants. Abraham was a very prosperous man, and he went down, and just he and a couple of his buddies that were from the area of Mamre there, they took and they overcame these four kings and completely conquered them, got all of their spoil and brought it back. The king of Salem, which later was called Jerusalem, came out to meet Abraham, and Abraham gave him a tenth. This is the first time that a tithe was ever given in the Bibles, right here in Genesis chapter 14. And then Melchizedek blessed Abraham. There's a whole chapter about this in Hebrews chapter 7 written in the Bible. And that's a powerful truth, but it's not my point. The point I'm wanting to get to is that the king of Sodom, when he saw that all of his people were rescued, he asked Abraham, he says, if you'll give us back our wives and our children that were taken captive, then you can have all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the spoil, the camels, the horses, the gold, the jewelry, the raiment, everything. We don't know exactly how much this was, but I speculate that it was millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of booty that rightfully belonged to Abraham, because if it hadn't been for Abraham, they'd have all been lost. It was a small price to give in exchange for all of the people who were taken captive and the people getting their wives and their children back. And yet here's what Abraham said to the king of Sodom. He says, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Now, boy, that says volumes. This money, all of this booty rightfully belonged to Abraham, but he was so trusting God. By this time, he had gotten the message that God was his source, that God was blessing him, that it didn't matter. Give him the desert land. You take the well-watered land and I'll prosper more than you. And it came to pass that way. And when he had millions of dollars worth of booty, he says, I'm not taking any of it, lest any of you think that you are the one that made me rich. He gave back all of this jewel, gold, raiment, cattle, all of this stuff. He gave it to these people. And he says, God is my source. That is just some kind of powerful. You know how this relates to us today. There are some of you that work in a job where you're competitive with other employees, or maybe you work in a district where you have a district that you are the sales representative for. And you know what? A person who's insecure and doesn't see God as their source, they will misrepresent their product. They will talk about the other people. They will stab people in the back. They will slander them. They will do anything that they can to try and get an edge up on somebody else and get the advancement, get the promotion instead of them. Abraham was the kind that he says, give me the worst district. You take the best district. God's my source. This district isn't my source. This person over here isn't my source. You give me the worst case scenario and I guarantee I'll be like a cork. You take me to the bottom of the lake and I'll rise again. God is going to prosper me. See, that's that kind of an attitude. And Abraham had this attitude. Abraham, by this time, had come to realize that God was his source. And so right after this thing where he made this tremendous declaration and gave away all of this stuff in the natural that could have increased him, but he did it because he was trusting in God. In the 15th chapter, God appears to him and says, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And then he struck a covenant with him, and the blessing of God now began to be fulfilled or amplified to its completion in the 15th chapter. It's powerful. I'm out of time today, but praise God, I am going to continue to talk about this on our programs tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Crisis and Miracles, free of charge.
I'd like to remind you that today is my last day to offer you the second teaching in this five-part set. And our whole set is entitled, How to Receive God's Best. The second teaching is entitled, Crisis and Miracles. And we make our albums available for a gift of any amount. I do that because sometimes the people who need this teaching the most are the least able to receive it. I've been there myself. So we offer it for a donation of any amount. But there are some people who cannot or would not give anything. And so what we do is offer each individual teaching in the album one at a time, free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do that. So today's our last day to offer the second teaching in the album free. Please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to attend our first ever worship conference that we're holding here at Caris Bible College. Daniel Amstutz is our new director of our third year of school and worship, and he's put together a Better Way to Worship conference. It's going to be on June the 15th through the 17th. That's a Wednesday through Friday evening. You can come and experience live praise and worship. You're also going to hear instruction about it. I'll be teaching some about the importance of praise and worship. There is a registration. It's free. You can go to our website, awmi.net, or you could go directly to carisbiblecollege.org and click on our What's Happening, and you can sign up. There is all the information, registration, just a lot of great things. It's going to be a wonderful time, June the 15th through the 17th, right here in Colorado Springs.
I started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
I just felt like I couldn't help him. Well, I knew I couldn't. I was in the medical field, and I couldn't do anything.
I found out later that it was life-threatening.
I just sat there quietly with family, hoping my son was watching, hoping he would absorb all this, understand it, and accept it, and he did.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies and take a healing journey with Scott Forsyth.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Caris Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.